United Methodist Church. We're glad that each one of you are here with us or worshiping with us online. It's great to be together. I am Reverend Corrine Boroff, and our worship leaders today are Susan Doe and Caroline Taylor. We welcome our liturgical dancers, Mason, Marin, Grace, and Caroline. And the music for our worship today is by our talented Joyful Sound. March 9th is our time change. We will lose an hour. Our clocks spring forward is the way that I remember it. It springs forward, so make sure you take note of that. It will affect us on that Sunday morning. So that would be March 9th is when our time changes. The 200 envelopes campaign for family ministries continues. If you have not taken an opportunity to grab and fill an envelope, please do so. The donations are continuing to come in for family ministry, and it's very exciting. As one of the things that's being done is our kids. We have significant numbers of kids that want to attend church camp this year, and your donations to the family ministry is making 100% scholarships available to those families, so it's very exciting, and there's much more that's coming out of that, so please grab your envelope and give to the family ministry. Lent begins March 5th. With Ash Wednesday service. That service is beginning with the offering of the ashes, a cross of ashes on your forehead or on the back of your hand, whichever you prefer, and receiving that as a reminder of who we are and who our God is as our Creator and Savior. And so you are invited to that service March 5th. At 7 p.m. here in the sanctuary. We're now all invited to repeat our pathway. We make disciples for Jesus Christ by following our pathway, living our faith, nurturing families, serving our communities. Let us stand and welcome one another in the name of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
As you return to your seats, let us center our hearts for worship.
Good morning. Please stand and join me for the call to worship. Come and learn the ways of life. We have come to follow Jesus. Love your enemies and do good to those who hate you.
We have come to follow Jesus.
Bless those who curse you and pray for those who persecute you. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
We have come to follow Jesus. We have come to learn the ways of life.
Thank you. think that I'm all by myself in this fight, but they do not know the infinite size of the God who is by my side. Hey, under fire, but my Goliath's standing in the shadow of the Almighty. I ain't lying, just testifying. Man, I'm talking about a big God. I face, don't make me afraid when I know that I'm standing right next to him. When I'm talking about a big God, big God, when trouble comes around the way, only remedy for big eyes is a big God. Ain't nobody gonna shake my faith. No, I'm not afraid. Throw my hands up in praise for the times that he pulled me through. I'm counting on a big God that they can't stop.
I'm Caroline Taylor, and I go to school at Pendleton Elementary. Today, I'm going to talk to you about why I dance for the church. I started dancing with Anderson Young Ballet Theater, and I have loved every second of it. Last year, I was asked if I would be interested in participating in a liturgical dance with First Presbyterian Church. I decided to give it a try, and it was a very good choice. I met my friend Marin, and I get to dance with Grace and Mason. Liturgical dance brings us together and gives us an opportunity to learn more about God. Our leader, Miss Chrissy, has shown us ways to use our bodies to praise the Lord. I love dancing here and at the Presbyterian Church. Brings us closer together because you guys get to know Marin and Miss Chrissy, and they get to know you guys. Thank you for allowing me to dance for you and supporting all of us.
Good news, the chariots are coming. Good.
Pray with me. Lord, thank you for all of us that are here today, learning about your greatness, and we pray that all of our families and friends will be healthy. Thank you for the dance and for the joy it brings. Please use the gifts we offer. We hope they bring you great happiness and joy. We will worship you in love now and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please pray with me. Oh God, in a world that seems to make no sense on so many levels, we come to you this morning, not just seeking answers, but seeking strength and courage for the days ahead. We pray for courage to be the people you have called us to be, people who seek justice and peace through your love for all of your people. We struggle with questions that seem to have no answers and problems that have insurmountable solutions. We seem to be a deeply divided people, but as we look and listen to people around the world, so many seem divided and at war with one another, either through words or worse. Surely we humans must test your patience, but we know that your love is all-encompassing, never-ending, always forgiving. This is our hope, that you continue to love us unconditionally. You are our hope for our lives and for the world. It is in this hope that we live and move and have our being. God, this morning we lift up the people who are fatalities of violence in our own neighborhoods and around the world, and the families and friends who have lost loved ones. Give them strength and courage for the days ahead. Help us to find ways to not alienate people, to affirm all of your people. Surely we know that you love us all and consider each one of us important and a part of your creation. Help us to be more like your Son, who you sent to show us how to live and respect others. This morning, we lift up those in our congregation who are sick or hurting in any way. Give them peace and strength to face their situations. Give strength to the addicted. Comfort those who are victims of violence. Help us find ways to feed the hungry. But God, we also lift up those who are bullies, persons who are perpetrators of harm, those who feel the need to put others down through name-calling and jokes. For those too need your love. Use people in their lives to show them a different path, a path of goodness and hope. God, we ask you to help us be change agents in this world as we open our doors wide. Give us courage to speak out about our faith, to teach those around us about your love for all people, and to lead by example, showing and speaking with respect to others. All these things we ask in the name of our Jesus, our shepherd, who taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our New Testament reading is from Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4 and 10 through 17, and Romans 12, verses 9 through 19. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in his glory. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults, and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony, and let the peace from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace, and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. And now from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 19. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. Share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be a great somebody. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. This is God's word for God's people today.
We've been talking about worship, and sometimes we just struggle with all the little details of worship, knowing what they mean and how to do them, and children are no different. And the Lord's Prayer has stumped a lot of children over the many centuries that we have been reciting the Lord's Prayer. There was one little girl that I actually heard this prayer. We were all saying the Lord's Prayer, and she says, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us some email." Close, right? Another one who was not quite as open, as boisterous as that little girl, was repeating also the Lord's Prayer and said, "Forgive us our trash baskets as we forgive those who put trash in our baskets." You know, that one's not too far off. And then the children who don't understand why they have to be so quiet in the worship service, right? And hearing that conversation, it was delightful and kind of sad for a pastor. One kid says, "Why do we have to be quiet in worship?" as they were headed in. And the other child next to them said, "Well, you know, it's shh, because people are sleeping." Oh, I hope not. However, unfortunately, there are many of us that come to worship spiritually asleep. And while we sleep for many reasons, physically sleep because we're exhausted or because we're ill, or if we're in a place where we're malnutrition, that leads to being great fatigue, to not have enough to eat. And in many cases, that's the same cause for our spiritual weariness. Oftentimes, it's not because we've used it too much that we're tired spiritually. It's because we haven't fed it. We haven't been attentive to our spiritual needs. And so we become spiritually fatigued. And coming into worship, sometimes we come. I mean, we arrive that way, just spiritually drained for many reasons. It's a challenge. It's a challenge to come into worship and be ready. Christ calls us. In fact, there is this wonderful church that I had the privilege of visiting recently. It was on a trip that I was taking. It was a church in Cozumel, Mexico, and the church reported that it was the first place in Cozumel where communion had been served, I'm guessing because it was probably the first church there, right? Yeah, that would make sense to me. But it was just a beautiful little Catholic church there. And in front, you may have been in churches where they had this. The stained glass in the front was Jesus Christ standing with his arms wide open. And there was one person that was with me. I didn't really know them, but I overheard them and said, "Wow, Jesus is welcoming us." Now, folks, we don't have the stained glass, but we have the cross up here. And if you can remember who was on that cross, Christ with his arms spread wide open. Christ welcoming each one of us. And it's a wonderful reminder that Christ is here. Christ is present. We always need to be reminded of that, that Christ is with us. Now, we are called to do some things in our scripture. Paul wrote two different letters. They were written similar times in Paul's life, different places in Paul's life. Romans was actually written while he was in Corinth. So one of the other, we have the Corinthians, first and second, that also received letters from Paul. But while he was actually there, he wrote the letter of Romans. He wrote the letter of Colossians while he was in prison in Rome. So it's very interesting, the different times and places that he wrote. But you may have noticed different translations. That was intentional. But I wanted you to hear, because otherwise it would have been almost identical wording. He repeats the same thing over and over and over. In Colossians, we hear that God's purpose for us is that we are to be merciful and humble and kind and gentle and patient and loving. Live a life of peace in Jesus Christ. Yesterday, I officiated a wedding yesterday evening, and the couple really surprised me. This was a couple, I had known the bride since she was teeny. She was in my little Daisy Troop Scouts with my daughter, and they have stayed best friends. My daughter was in her bridal party. So it was just such a privilege. It was almost like marrying a daughter yesterday. It was very, very touching. But they chose a whole lot of scripture. They chose four different passages. When I invited them to look through, now most of the time couples struggle to get one. Part of it is I ask them why they want that particular passage, and that's what they struggle with. You know, most of the time I get, well, it talks about love, and that's what we're here for, you know. So I get something like that, but this couple really worked at it. And they had reasons for each one of the passages that they chose, but they chose this Corinthians passage that we have today out of Corinthians 3, where we are told that our whole purpose in life is to live a life that is merciful and kind and humble and gentle of spirit and patient and peaceful. filled with peace? And I asked them about that passage, because that's the one they wanted me to offer a message from. And they said, Corrine, it talks about, it reminds us of our source of love and life. I thought, that's pretty deep for a bridal couple whose heads are up in the clouds right now. They said they wanted to be reminded always, as they would remember their wedding, that Jesus was a part of it. Jesus is a part of all that we do when we come together, just as it was for them. But that is a challenge to live. I'm guessing, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I'm guessing nobody could say, I'm always merciful. I am always kind. Always humble, Lord. Always gentle. That's hard to live a life like that. And then we have our passage from Romans 12, and it's written in the Message. And it begins there, and part of that passage says, let love be at the center of your heart. Let love be at the center of your heart. And it continues on, don't fake it. Don't fake it. Probably the most challenging passage was, bless your enemies. And don't curse under your breath. Did you hear that one too? Meaning you're not hurting anybody, that you're not hearing it. But it says don't. Nothing negative. You are to love your enemies as well. These things are really impossible for us, right? They're really, really hard. Hard to do. And Paul tells us in the letters, he keeps repeating these things, so we know it's hard. We're not getting it. You know, we know that things have to be made concrete for us to really get it. Somebody had done these things. There's some, like, weird laws. Alabama, I love, this is the most priceless law. It's still on the books. Alabama has a law that it is against the law to drive blindfolded. Yeah. But in order for that to go to the government to be made into a law, somebody had to do that. Right? Somebody had to do that for that to be made into a law. Now, just for some of you, if you live in Louisiana, sorry. It's against the law to send a surprise pizza. You won't get any pizza from any friends in Louisiana. But Paul repeats over and over and over. We have these two letters and other letters. Jesus Christ taught. And Paul just continues to echo over and over and over what Jesus taught, because we aren't getting it. It's hard. And I've wrestled with the fact that, why is this so hard? Because it really is. I get all tangled up in the love your enemies thing. It's good lip service. I love my enemies. And my heart's going, eek. That's hard. How do we do that? With any kind of integrity, with any kind of face of Christ to others. And I was listening the other day. I have the 2.5-year-old twins. They are growing leaps and bounds. They're both way over the average size of a 2.5-year-old boy. They are, an average size of a 2.5-year-old boy is 30 pounds. Lucas is 36 pounds, and they're not like chubby little guys. They're just big. They're tall. They're solid. They're big kids. And Landon is 41 pounds. And that's today. I asked Rebecca, text her, I said, how big are they today? And she said, here you go. They are just big kids. And she would always ask, she contacted me just last week, and she was almost in tears, and she says, Mom, they're not my babies anymore. And I said, yeah, for a little while there. But they're also potty training, and she would ask them in the past, she'd say, Landon or Lucas, are you my big boy or are you my baby? And they'd give her a hug and say, baby. And now, since they're potty training and they're so proud of themselves, they have become big boys. And she called almost in tears that her babies are no longer her babies. They become big boys. Folks, that's what we want to have happen, right? We all did it. We grow up to be very independent, able to take complete care of ourselves. It's what we're supposed to do, right? We teach that to our little ones. We wouldn't want it to be any different, except that is completely counter to a relationship with Jesus Christ. Think about it. Christ tells us. In Colossians, it begins with, you should die to self. And your real self is in Jesus Christ. We don't know how to do that. We know how to grow up and be independent. But then we're told we're supposed to, as a Christian, give all of that up and be completely dependent on Jesus Christ. That's hard. That's hard to do. But it's not impossible. I wanted to share with you, and I didn't want to rely on memory. Romans 12 begins, the very first verse in Romans 12 says, God helping you. Now hear that. Remember that. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. In other words, as a worship to God. We come together, and it's hard to follow all of those things that we hear Paul telling us, Jesus taught us to do right here. It's hard enough when we're with people that are like-minded in Jesus Christ. But when we enter our community, when we step outside of these doors, what we're told is that God will help us, but we are to live a lifestyle of worshiping God, of being who God calls us to be, with God right by our side, just like He is here. We're to live a life of worship. One that we have, it sets us free out into the world to reflect Jesus Christ. And folks, without God helping us, that is truly impossible to do. We can't succeed on our own. And when we are loving, when we are forgiving, when we are merciful and gentle of spirit and kind, that's when we're reflecting Jesus Christ. That's a lifestyle of worship. something that we cannot do on our own. It's against our nature. But God helps us to live a life of worship, where we praise God by how we live, day in and day out. And if you want to know how to do that, what you need to do to be able to reflect that, to be able to take worship into our everyday life, look at Colossians 3 or Romans 12. There's a whole litany of things to do and not to do. But primarily, to depend on God to carry us through. It's powerful to see a life lived in worship. We're going to sing together Lord of the Dance. And the refrain is that, is dance then wherever you may be. We could be singing, it doesn't quite fit the beat or the tempo, but this is worship then. Wherever you may be, let us sing together. At the back of that church at Cosmo, Mexico, there was another stained glass above the door. It was exactly the same stained glass that was in the front, Jesus' arms open wide, welcoming us to live a life of worship out into the world, knowing that Jesus goes with you always. Go now, knowing that Christ goes with you. Amen. Mm-hmm.